We don't actually have to start. Hey everyone, welcome back to Three Young White Guys Talk About Other People. Just kidding.
That's a good opening.
Yeah. Okay, hey, we're back. This is part three of the Great Canadian Debate with Joe Van and his secret guests who are on the show known as Big L and Mr. Bobby Rose. Welcome back. Okay. Hey, before we get into anything, a word from our sponsor. Today's sponsor is the Borg. The Borg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. Okay. So, how are we going to start this thing? Would you guys like to talk about climate change first or last? I'll leave it up to you.
Your call.
Okay, let's do it last. That'll be the big bang.
Yeah. Okay. All right, big bang. The first big bang, then, will be gay marriage.
Ooh.
Are you for or against gay marriage rights? We can start with Rose, because we always start with L.
Okay.
Sounds good.
What, am I for gay marriage rights?
Yeah,
why not? I mean, yeah, they have every right. That's the way they choose to live their life, and no one should tell them that they can't get married, and that they shouldn't get the same benefits that other married couples do. As far as marriage goes, at least, that's
yeah, the legal
pretty much where I stand. I like to say, live and let live, so... Yeah.
I 100% agree, like, every single point there. I think the only real argument against gay marriage is, oh, marriage is for religion, marriage is based in religion, but I mean, that's like saying that only Jewish people are allowed to get circumcised. It's just...
Yeah.
you're bringing nonsense into the argument. Yeah, 100% for gay marriage rights.
And also... Fun fact about marriage, it was originally about property. Romance wasn't introduced into marriage until way later in the game. Before, it was, you know, you trade whatever for my daughter and you get certain property in farming.
Exactly.
And then the royal line took that over, but romance still wasn't involved yet. It was about royal families splicing the DNA pool instead of it just being incest. And then eventually...
Decision.
Yeah. And then, you know, because, like, romance existed since the dawn of time with humans... Because it's like a wooing mechanism.
This wasn't viable, right? You
know? Yeah, and it wasn't mainstreamed, I guess, right? So not a lot of people got to experience romance with sex and love and all that, but...
Plus, they all used to stink really bad back then, so it was
everything.
Kind of
everybody stank.
Yeah.
Even the rich people stank just a little bit less.
They got to bathe once a year. Yeah,
they probably smelled worse, because these crazy things for perfume.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, so yeah. Regardless, romance is strong and alive in the Western culture, at least. And, yeah, gay rights, there you go. Next topic, LGBTQ+ adoption rights. Because this is something, I think, being contended currently in the Canadian politics. For no other reason than religious reasons, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, I'll start with you. For or against adoption rights?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on the situation, maybe. I don't want to, like, get... too deep into this because I don't necessarily have a strong opinion, but I would say against.
Yeah, and what aspects of it? Because obviously there's variables. Like, is it about the culture they're raised into?
Yes, the influence that it'll have on that child's life could cause, I don't want to say, it could cause mental illness in the child's life growing up in that household when you know, the norms in society, the other kids he goes to school with, you know, or, you know, have a father in their life, or a mother, right? It could, potentially, I don't know, I don't know any statistics, but it could potentially cause that child to be LGBTQ as well.
So there is a potential to sway orientation, you think, at a young age?
Yes, well... Another thing, like, it's just really, they say it's good to have a mother and a father in the household, like, for good reasons. I mean, let's just say, you know, two women, a couple, like, adopt a baby boy. So, do you think that baby boy, once he, like, grows up into an adult, is going to pick up all of the certain aspects of life that he, you know, maybe should be, that he would have if he had a male influence?
But yeah, so
I gotta completely disagree on every single front there.
See, I don't have a huge opinion on it.
Yeah, so I mean, stats have shown that there's no correlation between having homosexual or LGBT whatever parents and the child being LGBTQ, mental illness, success in life. There's absolutely no negative ties towards having two parents. So I think I can't pull a stat up, and I wish I hadn't written some down. But there are a lot of studies done on this, and there's no negative impacts on the kids. I think on the note of father figures in that situation, for that one example, or mother figures, whatever, I think ask yourself as a guy, do you think that all of your male knowledge and learning has come from your father? Because I would say my uncles, I would say older friends, I would say older friends' brothers.
Pop culture as well, environment, right? That's the thing, though. Like, sorry to interrupt you.
Mm-mm. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you're saying that it's 100% genetics then?
No, environment. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying that studies have shown that having two gay parents doesn't make you gay or have a higher rate of being... LGBTQ.
I haven't seen I
remember reading this a couple years ago in university, a big study on this, because I was curious. And
problem is, all the universities are indoctrinated with leftist propaganda. But
I mean, I'm pretty leftist. I've never sucked a dick. I'll tell you that much. It's I don't know, man.
I don't think you're that left.
Yeah, I mean, I can be a little conservative, but I don't know. I know gay people, I know straight people, and I know people who've been brought up in households.
I have no problem with gay people whatsoever, man.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When it comes, we're getting on a different topic, because the main topic here is adoption rights. And here's the thing. Those kids are going to grow up statistically just as well as anyone else. LGBTQ should have the same kind of screening that straight people have in adoption rights. And that's the thing. Thing about mental illness, I'm sure there's a lot of mentally unstable LGBTQ people, just as there are a lot of straight people who are mentally unstable, and those people, regardless of their sexual orientation, shouldn't be raising kids, probably. That's why the screening process exists. It's going to be applied there. All this is doing is taking the amount of kids who are growing up in the shitty-ass foster system, putting them in parents who actually care about them, and will give them some, or have responsibility towards them. It's taking away from one of our problems, and it's taking away from a problem for LGBTQ couples who can't genetically have kids. I think it's a win-win situation for society.
Yeah, finding it hard to disagree with all your points there.
And one point that I would add to the debate is, back in the day, it was assumed that it was a choice. Your sexual orientation, and that if you choose gay, it's because of the devil. And so there's like gay camps and stuff. And then I gay think, camps. Or whatever they were called, but that's the religious camps for that.
Something like that, yeah.
And nowadays, I don't know if it's mainstream or it was in the 90s and 2000s, but that you're just born however you're born, that it isn't a choice. And I still think it isn't a choice per se, but I'm pretty sure sexual orientation develops by like age 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
But again, there's so many variables where indoctrination through ideology, I don't think has a strong enough effect to change someone's sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of it's instincts, right? You look at someone and you think they're hot and you get a boner. Like that could come from anywhere. You could think you're gay your whole life and then get a boner for a chick and realize either you're bi or you're actually straight, but you were raised in the gay household. I think there's way too many variables. There's tons of conservative families back in the day where it's like someone turns out to be gay even though they're raised in the straightest household in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would disagree with ideology actually impacting instincts in sexual orientation. But, with that, I'll leave it there.
That it could. And, like, there's some parents out there who are impacting their gay kids to be straight. There's definitely could be, on the other side, some gay parents impacting their gay kids. Those aren't the parents who should be getting the adoption rights.
There's also some cases of parents that are encouraging their toddlers to change their sexual...
Yeah, I heard about that. That's
gender, yeah.
That's child abuse. That's literally insane.
Yeah, no, that is, yeah.
because there's like a 6-year-old.
They're not
who was
old
like a guy who got a sex change to be a boy. You're 6 years old. Oh, that, you haven't hit puberty yet. That is literally insane.
You've got to play it out. Like, that's something that you could just fuck your kid up and they regret.
And did. I mean, maybe. There's no way that didn't do that for someone that young. So, yeah, I think that's child abuse. Mm-hmm. So my gripe is that I don't know if ideology is strong enough, except for in cases where you literally brainwash your kid to have sex.
Okay, so let's just say
that instincts went out.
Let's just say that having two of the same sex parents, okay, doesn't affect the kid mentally, and it doesn't cause him to take that path himself. But what we were just talking about here, how do we know that these parents, because that, you know, people in the LGBT community, they're very passionate about, you know, being in that community. So how do we know that there's not going to be a lot of cases of parents trying to give their kids like choices like that, that they shouldn't be at that age?
Because we trust the adoption screening process.
It's the adoption
screening process. It takes years for a straight couple to get a kid.
Yeah.
Years. And that's so much. And then after they get a kid, it's years before they're finally free to take care of that kid.
Right.
Yeah.
These are the things that definitely need to be identified, because I think someone who pushes any sexual ideology or view on their kid is fucked up. Let your kid be their own person. And I think that that's an important thing to catch in the screening process.
But even suggesting it to the kid is bad enough, because the kids are, you know, they pick up on everything. And they.
In the end, I think you can tell your kids something, but their sexuality is going to be their sexuality. I don't think there's a gay gene or a straight gene. I think it's not based on what your parents believe. I think your life experiences and your genetic makeup eventually lead you towards to be attracted to a gender or both genders or neither genders. And I mean, like, fuck the amount of gay kids who are just like the conversion camp thing.
Yeah.
Your parents can tell you something, but if you're your own person, you have your own views, it's not going to help. I don't know. Not change you.
Mm. Yeah. And yeah, cause the only other way to think about it is like, memes, but not internet memes, the old school memes where it's just ideas or inventions that become replicated. So this isn't related to orientation, I'm just using as a reference point, like cutting yourself. That didn't exist in the Middle Ages. If someone's depressed, they cut themselves,
mm-hmm.
where they slice their wrist across so it doesn't kill them. So that was something that someone came up with and then like told someone about. I'm guessing through the internet is how it exploded.
Probably.
And now that's a regular thing that people do all the time. A huge population. Like, I know more people than I should.
Yeah,
which makes me think I don't have a proclivity to hang out with people who are self-destructive. It's just that once the idea enters your head, it can spread like a virus. So, like, I think instincts are stronger than anything else. So orientation, I don't think changes except in extreme situations. And even then, it won't happen. I think it's a lot stronger than something like, if you're self-destructive, that you'd cut yourself. But yeah, the brain's a goddamn mystery. As far as science goes, we barely are touching the surface with it. It's weird that there isn't more research being done into that, because there's tons of research being done into like animal behavior. Mm-hmm. But we don't do a lot about ourselves, and I think that's because we're scared to. It's too controversial. Like what we talked about in an earlier session with the whole prison experiment and stuff like that. We don't do enough testing on our own brain to realize how it works.
Yeah.
Except for the advertising agency. They're really good at testing. Doing that. Yeah. But anyway, so that's that topic. On to the next. Let's go with immigrant assimilation. We'll start with Rose again. For or against immigrant assimilation?
No, I'm extremely for. I mean, immigrants should be obligated to assimilate. They're leaving a country that is persecuting them, is not, you know, allowing them to have a good lifestyle. And they're coming here in some cases to take refuge, and in other cases to just pursue, you know, a better life, you know. And of course they should assimilate. They should respect the country's culture and its laws. And that doesn't mean to not practice your own culture, your own religion. That's you have the freedom to do that here. But you also need to adopt our customs and the way we treat each other.
Definitely agree with that. I think it's important that there's some kind of assistance to help assimilate people, but I think it's important to draw the line between taking away someone's culture and assimilating them into a new one. What Bobby Rose over there said was spot on, and I think we've got to keep pushing to get a society that works together as a whole and not have separate, different cultures not together as one society.
And the thing is most cultures come here and they fit in absolutely great and they assimilate. There are a few cultures, or well, mainly one that isn't so good at it, and it's not because they don't have access to programs that teach them, you know, how to assimilate. It's because they refuse to assimilate because they don't want to, because they want to impose their culture on us and change our laws to suit their culture.
Which culture is this? Muslim?
Well, yes, Islam. I mean, and I do have like a Muslim friends, and I have a dear friend that, like, you know, he crashes at my house like several weeks every year, this and that. Like, I don't have any problem with the actual religion, well, to some extent, and I don't have a problem with Canadian Muslims that came here looking for a better life and that have, you know, assimilated. And it's just the problem is the majority of Muslims in Muslim countries across the world, and these are studies done by like the federal government, like the CIA and all that. It just shows that most of them, if they could, would basically want to like make their caliphate the whole world, like and stomp out any other religion.
Well. Can't I don't know that study, but I can't dispute that if it's true. I would just say that I think that ties back to our last week argument about extremism, and I think extremism on any religion, race issues, stuff like that is the wrong solution. And I think those people who you're just talking about who want to stomp out other religions, I think that's a form of extremism. It's a religious superiority, and I think that's wrong. So I can't disagree with you there.
No. Well, just the problem is it's taught in their Bible, in their Quran, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's many, many passages that basically say that all infidels or apostates or disobedient women, you know, gays, Jews, you name it, you know, all need to be put to death. And there's a lot of Muslim clerics that preach this stuff in, you know, mosques in our own country. There's been guys that have brought, you know, recorders into these places, and that's what they're teaching, you know, their Muslim kids here, right? So
yeah, and that's definitely wrong. I think once again, those are the extremists. I know a lot of Muslim people. I have a lot of family who's out of Saudi Arabia, like Muslim since they've been born, right. And they just have the common sense and decency to look past that stuff and understand what their religion means to be or means to them. And I think that's the same with any religion. I mean, there's so much bullshit in the Bible, like so much bullshit in the Bible. And we're commonsensible people. We understand and have moved past.
Yeah. And to that point, cause yeah, there's a multiplicity to it all where there's culture, specific like ideology, and because there's the written, there's what the majority of the people in any given country believe, mm-hmm. and treat as the standard in everyday life, and then you have people outside the group just as individuals and how they think if you were to get them alone instead of in a group. So I am under the strong belief that every human being has a basic empathetic instinct, that if you see another human being hurt, it sort of makes you hurt or want to help them. So people don't like hurting each other. But when you put people in groups, it makes them more likely to hurt other people. So when you collect groups together and say, everyone's against us, then you're going to obviously, in power, crazy ideas.
Yeah, there's a ton of psychological backing to what you're saying. Like the in-group, out-group studies that have been done based on this and based upon the differences in empathy and human interactions if you're in a group, and how your identity becomes, or the group identity becomes part of your identity and actually changes your underlying personality in a lot of ways. There's a lot of evidence that would agree with you there.
I think it's fair to say, though, that like a lot of cultures, some cultures are just more civilized than other cultures, right?
It depends on what the backing of the culture is. So there are certain, it's like taking case studies of dense populations with different religious groups. Like the Middle East is a bad example. Like, in, is it Jerusalem or Jordan? where all the three religions are packed together, the Abrahamic religions of Judaism, yeah. Christianity, and Islam, and they all hate each other, and there's different sects even within each religion, and they're all like fighting each other. It's a constant civil war there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But then when you look somewhere else, like Eastern Asia, and you can have, China's a bad example, so I'm not going to use that because they're doing wacky stuff right now. But like in Tibet, you can have different factions of Buddhists that don't engage in civil war. So a lot of it has to do with doctrine, because this isn't controversial to say, because it's a fact that Christianity was used to do the crusade where you try and kill everybody who isn't part of your religion. Mm-hmm. But then after, I forget what specifically it was. I don't think it was the Renaissance, but there was a cultural shift where people didn't want to live in constant fear. So they did a reform of Christianity, which say you can't use it for violence, basically. Like, we're not going to change the Bible, we're going to cherry pick it now. Mm-hmm. For peaceful means.
But at least they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what hasn't happened yet in Islamic culture, is they haven't had the cultural shift to reform the book, where you don't change the book at all, but you ignore the parts that tell you to kill other people.
It makes you wonder if we're past the point where that's even
possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard, because the whole thing was, Christianity was adopted by the Roman rule of Constantine, and then became part of the European culture, and the European culture was more advanced in, I forget what specifically, but just mathematics and whatever, the capitalism. And then they carried over to the Western area and yada yada. And there was still tons of stuff wrong with it, but in the end, we now live in a multicultural country. But in the Middle East, they didn't have that, because I think there was the Islamic Golden Age, where algebra was like invented. But then the next ruler of kin or whatever that was part of the leadership said, no more doing math, like it's evil, it's part of the devil. It's probably because he was just stupid. Mm-hmm. So it stopped the ability for them to have something like the Renaissance. So since they didn't, culturally they're back like 100 years or whatever, but now there's all this new technology, and the Russians are like giving them all these dangerous weapons, and so the Americans have to go in, and bada boom, bada bing, you got the Iraq War.
Yeah.
And so, it's like they live in this advanced society, but with doctrines that haven't yet actually adopted to a peaceful notion. So it's super difficult, and this definitely goes into what the next topic point is, which is vetting Muslim immigrants differently than any other, because of that specific thing, right? Because it's super controversial to say, because I believe that on an individual level, they're decent people. It's the same with the extreme left, where it's just the outspoken minority that are the crazy people. So other people go because their families want them to go to the mosques, and so they listen to people who are crazy saying kill everyone, but they don't actually want to do it. They just go home and, you know, go on Tinder or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm still up for banning organized religion in general. I think that's the solution.
Even if 1%, what if 1% of them listen to them? Well, all it takes is a handful of people to take down some buildings, apparently. So,
and that's been happening in Europe with the Paris attacks and with the Belgian attacks.
And so that's since it is a problem.
Yeah, that's
since the European invasion.
Yeah,
I mean, like people, it's been going on for close to 20 years now. People have been flooding through Greece, the Greek islands, and into Greek mainland, and then using the European Union open borders to spread throughout Europe, and taking over large areas in Western Europe, and they call them no-go zones, where, you know, non-Muslim people can't really, you know, go in these areas. The ambulances can't even go in the areas. Look at, you know, people started throwing stones at them, cops, ambulances. Yeah, you know, white women definitely can't walk in these areas, especially at night. I'm sure you guys know about, like, the massive increase in rapes.
Especially in Germany, yeah.
By migrants, so.
So that's a problem of clash. Because, like, the only way forward for humanity as a species is to be united.
Agreed.
But you can't do that if there's culture clashes happening.
Joe's
so it's
a globalist,
like,
eh?
I'm definitely in agreement with him too.
Yeah, like in the future.
It's a fact that what separates us, we're at the point where nuclear weapons are so abundant that it's not like you can just have one race win out or one culture win out, because if there's a war, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
The only way forward is...
Oh, no, we definitely need unity.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for organized religions need to be disbanded. You should not be able to practice religion in an organized setting. You shouldn't have churches. You shouldn't have mosques. Everyone should be free to their own values. But religion is the biggest detriment towards human progress.
Yeah.
Religion is a tool that we use, or that people in power use, to reduce the critical thinking power. Like, If you literally, it's all about morals and critical thinking. So my set of morals is built on my own critical thinking, my life experiences, what I value ethically as right and wrong that I've put together. Religion is a cop-out to say, I don't have to think about that. I don't have to put thought into my morals. They're written right there. I'll just take those ones.
Yeah.
And boom. Like, I'm so anti-organized religion.
No, I agree with you. I think religion is all about mind control, just amongst other things. Like, you know, your favorite sports team, that's a great form of mind control, you know. Makes you stop thinking
It's culture wars, but in sports. Thing. Yeah. People riot the streets.
Like, you look at Liverpool team, or Liverpool and Man U, like, those fans will fucking kill each other. Yeah. Like, exactly. That's all they care about. Not even a joke.
So they're not going to be out, you know, fighting for political movements and this and that if all they're worried about is their sports team or getting up and going to their 9-to-5 job in and out every day and then going home and sleeping and then repeating it the next day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they got one day off on the weekend, so they go and get hammered at the pub and watch the soccer game, right?
Yep.
So it's all mind control. Our whole society's mind control.
If only there was unfocused. A way to allow us to vent or be emotional that doesn't hurt other people. Maybe it's just, or you do it, but with other people who also want to do that. like a
you guys remember Sock'em Boppers?
Yeah.
Those inflatable boxing gloves we used to fight each other with as kids.
Yeah, the big ones. So it's like,
nobody's hurt, we get our issues out.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a pair of Sock'em Boppers, new decree.
Oh yeah, imagine it, like it's like a rule where if you have certain tendencies, you have to wear them at all times when walking around in public. You can only take them off to eat food or smoke cigarettes. So you know if someone else is down to fight because they're wearing them. So you just walking down the street, see someone else, it, you just, hey, let's fucking go. People who don't wear it just don't want to fight, so you leave them alone.
Yeah. All right, back, what were we on again?
Vetting Muslim immigrants, but that's what we basically talked about the whole time. Assimilation, right? Assimilation is key. Even in the backwards state, which sounds bad, but it's like if you're someone who's all, you know, like, hey, everybody should be free, but you just really, really, for some reason, want to live in a second or third world country, then you should assimilate.
Yep. It's really tough to vet someone, though. Like, they should almost undergo, like, a psychological evaluation.
Yeah,
well, that's what vetting should be at all times.
Yeah, I'm sure the process.
I thought it was just background checks and see who they know.
I think it is, but it should
be. They need to go in depth and try and trick them into saying things that, you know.
Hey, man, I think that kind of mental health evaluation is super important, but then you get into human rights issues of, are you discriminating against people with a disease or disability, an illness, mental health? I think I'm personally all for that being applied to every kind of immigrant, regardless where you're from, but that's an argument that would just go into a shitstorm.
It'd be bad. Well, listen, you guys are safe. I'm not.
Since like we don't really have a problem with, you know, most all the other cultures coming here, maybe they should be a little more tenuous with that one, right?
It has a track history of being violent, so that's a fact. No matter how uncomfortable it is, because you want to think everyone's equal, cultures are more and less violent depending on what their doctrines are.
Back to the psych thing, though. How can you really vet somebody, though? Like, they can just come in and tell you what you want to hear. You know what I mean?
I don't know. It would have to be different concepts. It's like money.
Psychologists are slippery
fucks. Yeah, true.
Yeah, so yeah, I would say it's like money, because you have counterfeiters all the time. You just constantly have to update the money and add secret little tricks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Same with a psych eval. Constantly switch it so you can actually train for it.
Yeah.
And you just, yeah. But, yeah, again, that would be something where people would stop it before it begins because of social manners.
And that's PC a whole other culture. Debate. Is mental health illness something that you should be allowed to discriminate against in immigration? Like, that's a huge human
rights
issue.
Well, if that mental problem is that you want to go blow up your fellow Canadians,
that's not a mental problem. The mental problem would be, like, schizophrenic or something.
If you're prone to violence.
If you have some kind of belief, like, schizophrenics are probably the most dangerous. I'm not 100% sure, but they have they have a weakness to being influenced by higher powers, existent or non-existent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why, like, schizophrenics in any religion can...
They're the people. They're the warriors.
Ones, yeah, they're the most fucked up people, and you'd be surprised. Like, I guarantee if you went to ISIS... You'd be so surprised how many of those people are schizophrenic.
So against your point, then, is the mixture of those two things not, like, super bad, then?
Here's the thing, though. I'm not saying it isn't, because I wouldn't want to be around a schizophrenic, highly religious person at any point in my life. But, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's a human rights issue there. Nowadays, a mental health illness you can't discriminate against in any way. Like, there was a story about this nurse in Ontario recently who she was dealing with older patients, and she was taking a portion of their drugs and underdosing them because she was a heroin addict or an opiate addict. Okay. And they caught her doing that and doing the opium, like shooting up at work. They fired her. The government forced them to rehire her after rehab, saying you can't discriminate against her because drug addiction is an illness.
Yeah, as long as you disclose your drug addiction to your employer before they fire you, then they're not allowed to fire you.
Exactly. So it's one of those things. I'm just saying this would be a huge issue and probably.
And as long as you're getting help for it too, like trying to.
Exactly. Get help for it. Yeah, that's one of the possible solutions. Like maybe vetting immigrants. If those immigrants show a mental health issue like that, maybe they're not allowed in the country unless they agree to getting psychiatric help or something like that. Maybe that's the right first step. I don't know. Big issue.
Touchy issue. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's that topic. On to the next. What do we got here? Sanctuary cities. First, do you guys know what that is?
Yes.
Very little.
Okay. What's the best way to... Would you know more than me? How would you describe
it? Well, I don't know if I know more than you. Like, I don't know. Like, sanctuary cities are, I guess, municipalities, at least within the United States, that have agreed to take in undocumented... Well, illegal immigrants and say that as long as you're in this city, our municipal cops aren't going to turn you into ICE or do anything like that if you get arrested. Because, you know, most illegal immigrants, they try really hard not to have interactions with the police because as soon as they run them, they don't have a social security number. Next thing you know, they're getting deported, right? And then they got to, you know, come back in again, which they do all the time. But, the sanctuary cities, it's obviously not right. I mean, they're going against their federal laws. So, of course not.
I'm surprised it even works. How
does it work?
Well, it's kind of a new concept.
It's like a mob thing. Like, if all the cops in the city just agree not to do it, then what can the federal government do?
Well, ICE has jurisdiction in the federal jurisdiction. So if they want, they can go in there and start rounding people up.
But, like, the cops, too, is what I'm saying. The cops are being complicit with basically going against the law. Not, I guess it's a loophole because it's like, oh, we're looking. And they're just not... So that's my thing. It's not against the law, but it is. But because there's no way to prove that they are...
Yeah, but I'm saying if ICE wanted to, they could drop like 1,000 agents on the ground in a sanctuary city and go around and
yeah.
Which they wouldn't do. I mean, I don't think that's really what's going on. But this whole thing, it's kind of a new concept. The sanctuary city is more like a post-Trump kind of era thing.
I think it was made because of Trump, yeah.
Exactly.
There's people going,
Well, it's not made because of Trump. It's made because of
the opposing
the Trump.
People.
Yeah, exactly. I mean. It's made, just because of... his presence, I guess.
Yeah. But for or against, Big L?
I mean, pretty relatively against. I don't think the idea of undocumented... I'm not all for undocumented immigrants, but I don't know. I think there's some other arguments to be made, especially with, like, second-generation undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, because those people are innocent.
Yeah, I mean, if you were born to two undocumented immigrants in a country, in America, I mean... I think you should have, not a fast track, but a better way to get citizenship if...
Than your parents, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, there's some situations where the way ICE handles it is just so absolutely fucked up. But at the same time, I don't agree that undocumented immigrants should be able to freely join in America or join Canada. So it's a touchy issue that I don't have.
They have every right to apply for citizenship everyone else waiting in line does. I mean,
exactly.
And it may be tough to get in, and I understand that, but, you know, they have to let people trickle in. They can't open up the floodgates because the whole world will just flood in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't
You can't
fun.
Do that either. So you have to have laws. You have to abide by the laws if you're going to have them. And if you're going to have by these laws, and you need to enforce them. And if they need better barriers to enforce them, then, yeah, build that wall, too.
Yep. On to the next topic. Next one is candidate transparency.
Yep.
I find it strange that this isn't, like,
an absolute fact. What? Yeah. What are we talking about? I mean, like, Trump showing his goddamn tax reports.
Yeah, transparency should be key.
Trump's arguably the most transparent president in the history. Politician in the history of the world.
Absolutely.
Except for his taxes.
He tells you everything that's on his mind the day before, and then he does it.
When it comes to transparency, it's not about just spitting out the bullshit that's on your mind. It's about transparency on your background. It's about transparency on the legal stuff. Okay, he hasn't shown any tax records.
Actually,
he's falsified records on all the buildings that he's done out of country.
No, actually, CNBC, or CSNBC, is that what it's called now? MSNBC. Rachel Maddow, okay? She obtained Trump's tax return from one or several years, okay? And she did this huge buildup. She told everyone to watch her show all week long. She probably got great ratings that night. Everyone tuned in. And then she talked for about 20 minutes about how there's actually nothing abnormal about it and that Trump paid more taxes than the average American did.
Yeah, but that's not the point of candidate.
Trump paid, she said, like, yeah, it's a, I forgot what the number was, tens, like, a hundred, like, tens of millions of dollars in taxes.
I didn't say Trump hid his documents. Even if he was completely honest in every document, he has to show them.
No, he doesn't. He's not obligated to. It's tradition.
It's tradition to show?
Doesn't matter. It is tradition to show. Okay. He's not obligated to, otherwise he would have shown.
Well, that's, I think, a problem. That's what the argument of candidate transparency is.
Why should he?
Because he should. What if he was?
Just because they want him to? Trust me. He's just trolling them. He's just trolling the left.
All right. What if you got the next president who's factually a criminal who has cost the government millions and millions of dollars? What if you've got, like, imagine what the left pictures Trump. Imagine that in some other body as the next president. Don't you think that they should have to do that? Don't you think that there should be more accountability for the highest power in the United States? Or in Canada?
Put it in the laws then. I mean,
that's what the whole argument is.
He's not legally obligated to.
Yeah, so for,
I think
yes.
they should.
But he's not. He doesn't have to.
So regardless of Trump, like Canadian candidates, do you think, are you for or against this?
Candidate transparency.
Yeah.
Well, in the future, I don't know. I suppose it's a good thing. I'm just saying in that particular situation, he's not obligated to.
I know.
I don't think he has much to hide anyways. And based on the tax returns that they did get leaked, and I think Trump leaked it to Rachel Maddow.
Chose the 1 year he paid.
Yeah, exactly. No, but actually, Trump took like so many losses. Like he had like $100 million in losses.
Yeah,
that,
he's a shitty business.
So, no. So he's allowed to take these certain tax cuts and this and that, and it's totally within his rights.
I mean, there's a lot of shit about him and his father spreading that money around the family to avoid tax cuts.
Right.
And you know what? This is not the argument. I'm not Trump's accountant.
He's trying to keep the argument on candidate transparency.
I think that candidates all over the world should be transparent completely and all previous records. Even if you were arrested when you were 16, I think that should show. I think that's what it means to be a candidate. There's too much that isn't seen or isn't shown, not with Trump, single politician who exists.
Yeah, like one thing I would say, and this is my own fault because I'm going to jump into America here, but I forget if it was a senator. There was a politician in America who was like trying to abolish gay rights like in his county or something, and it turns out he was gay.
that was recent, wasn't it?
It's funny. That's where transparency would come in handy, right? Like imagine a Canadian guy who's just like, I'm gonna bring back execution rights, and then turns out he was like a criminal for murder or something. It's like that's where transparency would be important, where it's like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Like if they're trying to win by saying something even though it goes against them, like if they're a hypocrite because of it, I think for those reasons, transparency is very important.
When you say, are you just talking about elections? Or are you just talking all the time in general? Like, there should be full transparency.
No, elections. Just an election.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if they're running.
I'd be down for full transparency, like, within government.
Me too. Absolutely. That's an entire other
issue. And that's, I'm just going to say, any other president, any other prime minister, you see them, they're like a groundhog. They pop up once a year, they give their little State of the Union. Then they go and hide, and you don't hear anything from them. You don't know what's going on. Trump's telling you what's going through his mind, and then he fucking does it, okay? Or he attempts to do it. Kofefe, yeah, whatever. He's making up words. He's killing it, man.
This guy's just spewing shit out like a fucking toddler. He stole his dad's Twitter account. It's just embarrassing, man.
He's saying actual things, though.
But
it's sometimes he's just talking crap to people. Sometimes, but like
I don't see how anyone puts his policies out there him too. As the president with the way he tweets. That alone lost any shred of respect that I would have ever had for him. Yeah. It's embarrassing in my opinion.
Yeah, he's definitely an eccentric, little man for sure. But
thanks, like, Kanye. Very cool. He's very egotistical. You can't deny that.
Well, he's a self-absorbed man. We're gonna jump on Kanye's back now.
No,
we were talking Trump there.
I mean, yeah, thanks, Kanye.
Kanye's cool. Crazy in his own way.
Well, he's an artist, though, how is he any crazier than any other Trump supporter?
Oh, I wasn't talking about
that.
Does it have to do with the color of his skin? But
no, I didn't even mean in the sense. Okay. Like, I genuinely have thought for the past 4 or 5 years that Kanye's developed bipolar disorder. And I brought this argument to a lot of people. No, he went through a psychotic break like 4 or 5 years ago when he started going crazy. I've seen the signs in a couple other people. I've seen people go through the process of a psychotic break into bipolar disorder, and I know exactly what it looks like.
The first time I ever
he's
heard...
He's admitted to it now, too.
Oh, really?
His album's called I Hate Being Bipolar. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He also admitted a month ago that he's going to wear a MAGA hat to all of his concerts in 2019 to show everyone where he still stands.
And
hey, do his thing, man.
Yeah, because I think he's creating his own MAGA hat where he's making it purple or something, because it's supposed to be about uniting the country.
Well, there's a lot of MAGA hats.
But the whole blue and red combining is supposed to be his shtick.
Awesome.
Yeah. But anyway, unrelated to Trump, I think Kanye is crazy.
Well, yeah.
For a long time.
Well, the first time that
Tom Cruise. I enjoy the music and the movies. I just would never want to hang out with the person. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. It's like I'd be scared to be alone in a room with them. But I love what they do. So yeah. I'll always, you would have to do something extreme for me not to enjoy your work. Like, one example is the guy from Owl City. You guys heard about him? The 10,000 fireflies.
Oh, yeah.
Who's caught with kids naked? I don't know what he was doing with them, but yeah, it was in the news. It's like, oh, damn,
I don't know what he was doing with them.
Yeah, yeah, pull the
MJ.
Yeah, and so it's like I hear that, and it's like, okay, maybe it won't affect my joy for his music, and I can't listen to it anymore.
Yeah,
it's too crazy. I'm like,
the death penalty for pedophiles. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's not
okay. So yeah, I don't have this on this. Let's talk about that right now. Pedophiles. Fuck them, let's kill them.
Death penalty.
Literally,
death penalty.
The greatest thing.
Death penalty.
It makes me want to puke. Like, anytime I see anything.
I'm not talking like a statutory rape, like one guy's 19, this girl's like 17 or something. I'm talking pedophiles,
children
executed.
And adults. Yeah.
Or at least chemically castrated.
Yeah. Other options.
No, but
too,
painfully, but in a way where it doesn't kill them, but you
like,
rip
there needs to be like. We need to put scapegoats forward that say. Oh,
they're not
humans
anymore.
You're not risking jail time. You're risking your entire life. Like, we will fucking kill you.
No, more importantly,
as a society.
No. It shouldn't be public. It should become a thing that the CIA takes in. Where instead of like terrorists going to Guantanamo Bay, it should be pedophiles that are secretly taken out of jail and tortured for the rest of their lives. And
after
too much
process,
money, just kill
them. Right?
Just kill them.
Yeah. Like, after they've gone through the process and gone to jail, they're like taken out of jail without anyone knowing about it and then tortured.
Yeah,
because if society knows about it, then the pedophiles become better at hiding it, and you know.
I'm really surprised to hear you say that.
Jared from Subway, you know, it's like they caught him with more kitty porn.
I mean, R. Kelly.
Yeah, R. Kelly was sex cult with 15-year-old girls.
Here's the problem.
Okay, what's the problem?
Now I haven't studied too much of the R. Kelly stuff.
R. Kelly.
Okay, this is all with the whole like the Me Too movement. Okay.
Yeah.
So. I don't think R. Kelly should be punished any further. Like if there is a cold case or something like that, and there is credible evidence,
there's three tapes now of him having sex with 14-year-old
girls.
Yeah,
I don't.
The most recent video, she says "fuck my 14-year-old pussy" like 10 times,
and he keeps telling her to say her age.
So consent. How old was she?
14.
Oh, that's not good.
14. He's a fucking pedophile.
And at that point, he's 38 or something. He's like 50 now.
Oh shit!
Different girls.
Okay.
Three different.
Okay,
tapes.
I'm spocking. I don't know the facts. Okay, of R. Kelly. So I'm saying So obviously, there's some credible evidence there, but. Like, with the whole Me Too thing, like, the whole Harvey Weinstein, I know the guy's a total creep, but in my opinion, like, I think all of the women, or at least most of them that are making claims against a guy like Weinstein and other people of power, I think it's more or less that they chose to sleep their way to the top because that was kind of the thing to do, you know, back in those days, right? And now they're getting bitter, and there's this huge feminist movement, and they're starting to call out, you know, these dogs, right? And I'm not saying he's a good person, but it's not like nowadays they're calling this stuff rape, and back then it was kind of like it was a mutual agreement, you know what I mean? So
Well, yeah, the point I would make to that is, like, most high-up females who got into Hollywood, especially back in the day, like the 70s, 60s, whatever, they knew that they had to do terrible things to get there, so they did agree upon it. So the power structure was that this is the world we live in, so we got to do it. So they can't then go back and say that it was rape, because they did agree to it, even though they were disgusted and didn't want to do it. With Harvey Weinstein, I don't know if there's any evidence of rape. I think all accounts are sexual harassment.
Yeah, I didn't say
that. What was I going to say about this? But I think there are tons and tons of cases where there's non-disclosures, where people are raped, but they agree to take the money. So again, that's on them, yeah, because they're agreeing to do that. But there's so much shit that goes on, like, behind closed doors that none of us will ever know about. So the Me Too movement, I think, was the castration of Harvey Weinstein because he was, like, the pig lord of Hollywood. And so down with him as the example. So sucks to be him because he was, like, the first, right? And then since then, holy shit, we got Kevin Spacey. Damn, that's fucking gross. I had no idea that he was doing shit like that.
I remember reading about Kevin Spacey. I thought it was just like he made out with a young guy or
something. It was a 14-year-old boy. Oh. He like trapped him in his room and started like rubbing up his bone.
Oh.
I think it goes much deeper than that though. Like the actor.
If it was a kid, fuck him.
It was a child. I think you see a picture of him too, and he's got like a big mushroom cut glasses. Like he looks like a child.
If you listen to guys like Corey Feldman and like Corey Haim and them, they go into the great detail about, like you were saying, the power structure in Hollywood and stuff like that. There's only really like five main like production companies and studios, right, that make all these movies. So it's a real tight-knit kind of like community in Hollywood there. And yeah, they talk about how, you know, basically almost all kids in Hollywood, you know, are subjected to
It's like the church,
sexual,
right?
Yeah.
Assault of some kind.
Assault of some sort, yeah.
It's fucked.
It's real.
Thank God I didn't become a child.
Send the FBI in there, man.
Yeah. Let's do a
no matter how rich you are, pedophiles need to die.
Yeah. Jesus. That's anyway, the topic of pedophilia does actually make me sick. It's fucking gross. I was never attacked as a kid, but like, the concept is, it's more disgusting than regular rape to me. It's more disgusting than mutilation. Like, I still have like, it still disgusts me, mutilation. Like, I don't enjoy any of the Saw movies and stuff. I'll still watch them.
Yeah.
Like, I can handle them.
I'm not big on those gore movies.
Yeah,
I'm a little cringy, but we've all seen
it. Yeah, like, some people are, like, fine with it or they enjoy it because it's, like, exciting to like, go through events where it's, like, how can you survive? Like, a whole survival instinct thing. But for me, it's, like, nah.
Watch Bear Grylls, then.
Yeah, Jesus. True. Real life.
They kind of debunked Bear though. They like.
Yeah. Oh no.
Turns out he had all his help with him and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's got a camera crew with him.
Well, obviously he's a camera guy, but I mean a lot more. No. But they were saying stuff that they're like, yeah, like basically, Bear would make them like camp out in the woods and this and that. And he'd take off to like some chalet.
Oh no.
He's like a T-bone steak. Yeah. At nighttime. Yeah. Sometimes.
Oh my god.
That's on a few occasions.
That's unfortunate.
Go stay in a hotel while they're like camping out in the woods.
You guys should actually watch Primitive Survival. That's what I meant.
I've seen clips on it on YouTube. Yeah, it looks cool. Like, there was one where they said our early ancestors would take, like, ash from a fire and then put it on their eyes like this so that they could see that there wasn't glaring. Like, apparently you could do it now, even though you have a risk of putting shit in your eyes. But, like, they would do that as old school sunglasses.
No.
And, like, it actually works. It gets rid of glare.
No, there's just some, cool. Like, you should see some of the cool shit they make on there. After this, go on YouTube and search out Primitive Survival. There's some really cool shit. It makes me want to go camp out in the middle of the wilderness. And
not right now. I'm going to wait till it's warmer. But
yeah, definitely.
That's my thing. I'm
going to wait till I go bankrupt and then run out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Have you seen Into the Wild? It's a cautionary
tale.
But Alexander Supertramp. He was an actual guy in the early 90s who had everything going for him. He had like a girlfriend, his family was still together even though like his parents had problems and stuff, and he just hated society. So like he graduated school with like honors and then just left, and like left his identity, left all his like license and everything in a car, burned it, and then just walked away and burned his money too, and he just lived on the road as
kind of like Catcher in the Rye, but like
in real life.
Yeah.
Based on actual events.
Yeah, I've always thought I'd want to do that, like, there's so many times I get pissed at society and think, like, fuck it, I just want to go spend the rest of my life living in the forest or something, but
maybe for a little bit.
No,
that's what we got camping
for. It would be
for.
Like a, if I ever do, it'll be a life or moment.
Well, yeah.
That's why I haven't done it, because I'm like, fuck that.
Not yet. Yeah, one day. Okay, so...
got things to do.
This... How much time we got? So we got 10 minutes left, just about. Let's jump on criminal voting rights. What do you guys think about that?
Absolutely.
For or against?
Well, I don't know. Like...
Okay, so do you know what it currently is? Like, let's talk Canada right now. Criminal voting rights, I think it's...
Oh, you don't have the right to vote.
You're permanently, with a criminal record, permanently...
Unless you get a pardon, yeah, but as far as you do...
Pardons are for minor offenses. If you, like, did armed robbery, for the rest of your life, you can't vote. If you can't go to another country, you can't vote. That's basically what's going on now.
Okay. Well,
you can get pardoned.
Well, if you're a criminal, you can't necessarily not travel. It's just if that country has any restrictions on the crime that you committed.
If it's currently on your record, basically, is what I mean. Like,
I know some people.
If it's on your record, you can't vote.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was just saying that if you have a criminal record, it doesn't mean that you're stuck.
Can't go
to
like Cuba.
Yeah.
You can't go to Cuba, but you can go to like most of like your European countries, depending on the crime, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like for instance, if you have a DUI. Most likely, the DUI is like considered like it's a more serious crime in the States. So, if they see it, they're a good chance that they won't let you in. But yeah, most like countries in Europe and like you know Southeast Asia and like a lot of places that are good travel destinations, they don't have any problem with like certain things like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, I'm sure if you're a violent criminal or something like that, you know that'll lower. That range of countries you're allowed to travel to.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the voting situation. not against that.
A little sidetrack.
No. Simple segue.
Yeah.
But there was an example that I heard on the radio about someone who went to jail for like 15 years or something when he was like 20 for something like armed robbery. And then he got out and he couldn't vote, obviously. And he, like, really rehabilitated his life and became, like, an active member of society and got a job and everything. And he's, like, 60 or something now and he still can't vote.
Yeah.
So, for something like that, that seems extremely unfair. Because if you rehabilitate your life and become, like, a good, upstanding citizen of society, then...
You literally stole my point. I was going to say, if you're a criminal, you lose those voting rights right away. I think I agree with that. But I think there should be either not just a time requirement, but... a thorough, like, rehabilitation process that's difficult and long to go through that shows if you are a criminal who cares enough about your vote and about the political opinion to go through this long, arduous process and prove that you're rehabilitated and of value to society, you should have the right to vote.
Yeah, if you've served out your sentence and you have, you know, rehabilitated yourself, I guess, then, yeah, why not? Like, everyone needs... second chance, depending on the crime as well. Yeah,
if we put that into maybe have it, if you reoffend after that, gone forever.
Sure.
Yeah,
something like that. But yeah, I don't know, a lot of people fuck up. A lot of young people fuck up.
Well, that's why we have the Young Offenders Act as well. A lot of young people fuck up.
A lot of 20-year-olds who aren't in the Young Offenders Act fuck up. I fuck up. I'm 23, man. Like.
Yeah. My
record wouldn't get expunged. So I think, I don't know. I think, especially for first-time offenders... I think we should put some kind of way for people who actually care enough to contribute to society to earn their right to vote back.
Yeah, like an online process or be able to go into some sort of office and apply. And then if they look through your record and say, like, look through your taxes or something and say, okay, you've been a member of society for this long and haven't caused a crime since this long.
And some crimes should probably just be fully exempt from not being able to vote. Like, repossession, stuff that are really non-crimes, really. Let's face it; those shouldn't affect that.
Yeah, but yeah. So we have 7 minutes left for climate change. Should we save it for the next?
I think we should save it for next time, and we'll both prepare for it.
Okay.
And it'll be a huge battle,
and we'll start with that, and it could be the whole hour.
Awesome.
Okay, awesome.
We can throw something else in there.
Let's see what else we got here. So those ones are connected, so we won't talk about that.
You gonna go right wing on that argument?
Oh, big time.
All right, I'll come. All right.
Yeah, it'll be good. We'll bring some
notes.
I'm
printing out some studies, just so you know.
Yeah, but those studies are biased.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Regardless, try and pick through it.
While you're picking something. Okay, so anyways, there was this thing released recently that, you know how they did that study that they're basing the whole, like, argument for climate change on, like, 63,000 scientists, you know, said this or that. said that the globe's climbing, or the
climate temperature. I don't follow the mainstream media studies that the liberals are putting out are just
yeah, but that's what they base everything on, though.
But the studies that those scientists' opinions are backed on are very factual.
Yes, okay, but they report on things when scientists put out these reports, claiming that the temperature has been rising. Okay, but a few years later, when they find out that all of those reports were actually false, and the scientists admitted to it, they don't report on it. Look it up.
We'll check it out,
and we'll get this all together for next time, and we'll see what we have.
Okay. This is gonna be an interesting one next time.
Absolutely. Okay, so this one has a related topic, but it's not super related, so I'll just throw it in there. Mandatory military. A lot of places have that. Canada does not.
Conscription.
Fully against.
Well, against, obviously.
I want to live, goddammit.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know, like, in countries like Greece, like, yeah, as soon as you turn 18, you got to go serve, like, 3 or 4 years or something.
Yeah,
like
one of my uni buddies was an Israeli guy, and after first year uni, he had to go back to Israel to serve his mandatory 3 years.
That's the part
of
their culture.
I knew a guy, like, in Jordan, too, who had to do that.
Like, Greek culture that's, like, built on war, you know what
Spartans!
I mean?
Spartans!
Yeah, and it's, like, they're proud to do it, too, I think. I mean, the one guy I knew, like, he actually left the country and took off so he wouldn't have to, and I think his family eventually bought his way out, but... And Israel, too. Israel, their country was founded by, you know, the Seven Days War or whatever, and they've been at war ever since then, fighting for their lives. So, I mean, that's just part of their culture. And in a country like that, I do, like, in some cases, I think conscription, you know, is necessary. Like, back during World War, like, we kind of needed the troops to go.
Yeah,
right?
No one would say yes, right?
Exactly.
Oh, there's a world war happening?
Well, if there's
fuck
an invasion
me.
In your homeland, I think conscription, yes, to some extent, should be implemented.
Yeah. So, but that has yet to ever happen here.
I'm
there was Pearl Harbor,
yeah,
but that's
not
the,
a problem.
That's
there.
Not the same as
it's not
we
a
have military force and reserves for a reason.
But in a country like Greece, okay, they're surrounded, okay, and
yeah, they're right
you
in
know
middle.
Exactly, and not it's only that, you know, yeah, that for that reason they're more vulnerable. So I think they should have at least the right to impose conscription.
I think that what they should do then is have higher benefits for being in the reserve. Do something like that. But I think it's morally wrong.
Greece bankrupted themselves.
I don't know. Greece, figure your shit out. But I think objectively it's wrong to have, in my mind, ethically wrong to have conscription or mandatory military service. Like, what if I'm someone who's against society, who does not believe in the Canadian government? Like, I barely believe in the Canadian government now. I wouldn't wield a gun for them. I'd wield a gun and go to war for certain things.
Yeah, but you're not
values.
Doing it for their government. You're doing it for your country, for your society.
You say that, but then you look at a lot of wars that's happened.
I know.
In the past
no, no, no.
Years.
I know.
The, are those wars for your?
Well, arguably, every war is just it's just political
excuse.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
I just
think it's not something that should ever be in place. So we'll
yeah, like, because those Canadian troops, they wouldn't have had to go fight in the war unless the Canadian government decided to join that war, right? But they, you know, because it was the World War and they were fighting against communism
and
our
mother,
the Nazis and this
mother
and that.
Britain, too. That plays a big, big role in it.
Yeah.
America joined way later in the day. I'm surprised they did, though.
Well, they joined because of Pearl Harbor, right?
Yeah, well.
They didn't join before then?
They joined a
yeah,
little
no,
before.
Actually, yeah, no, I think you're right there. Yeah, Pearl Harbor is what...
There was a reason for
that. That was their final
joining.
Solution with the hitting the A-bomb.
I forget, yeah. Well, this is for another time, maybe.
Yeah.
But I need to buff up on my Saving Private Ryan kind of stuff.
Yeah, man.
It was a lot longer than I remember. I watched it recently. I was like, the beginning seems great,
yeah,
and then just
like
drags forever.
But then the sniper scene, that's the best part.
Yeah, that's hardcore. Spooky shit. Love and then shit. Turns out Tom Hanks wasn't the guy who was alive as an old man. It was Matt Damon the whole time. What a twist. What a shitty twist. I'm like, he dies. He was the main character. Anyway, now that I ruined that for everyone. Hey, thanks for coming by, everyone. And to my guests, I will see you next week. Doesn't mean actual next week, but it will be for these guys. So that's all that's important.
Okay.
Sounds good. Yeah. Gentlemen.
See ya.
Peace. If I can find the mouse.